Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model, our role model.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayki
ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to this special series of programs, Our Role Model, in the blessed month of Rabi Unur Sharif. And as you can see, like many, many of your houses, many of the houses, many of the masjids around the world, the studios lit up, we're all here, mashallah. And it's the blessed month of Rabi Unur Sharif, the month in which we celebrate the blessing, the birth of the greatest of all creation, the birth of the final messenger and the mercy to all the worlds. And in this month, we've got this special series of programs, Our Role Model, in which we discuss different aspects of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from that we see that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only a role model 1400 years ago, but he's a role model today, and his contribution as a role model will continue until the day of judgment. In previous episodes, we talked about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in different aspects of his life. Today we're going to talk about an aspect of his life that everybody, I believe, can be in this role in some way or another. And that is the role of a friend. I'm fortunate of those people that have true friends, yeah? Because many people use the word friend very, very loosely. That, oh, he's my friend, he's my friend, he's my friend. But also, what is a true friend? And inshallah, I'm going to look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see his friendships, how he was, how his friendships were with the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what motherly pearls he gave us with regards to what kind of friendship we need to have as well with us as well. With us, mashallah, in the studio, we have Tawfiq Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. How are you, Tawfiq Bhai? You okay?
Alhamdulillah.
But with regards back to the topic, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a friend, you know, again, you know, we see that he was very, very close to many, many companions, and I'm hoping we can learn something with regards to this topic.
No, first of all, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his leadership qualities, you'll think, no, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet of Allah and is the best of the creation, he's the last and final messenger of Allah Ta'ala. So all his the life and his works, you'll find that the rest of the people are the followers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet of Allah, Nabi Allah, and the public, the rest of people are his followers. So everyone, you know, has that type of connection. So this is something that you don't normally think, that, you know, people are friend with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do talk about the Sahaba and their ishq-i Rasul,
the
full devotion, yeah, as a companion, as a Sahabi, yeah. But we never really discuss this particular aspect. But we normally talk about the Sahaba, how much the love they have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But today, inshallah, I want to share a narration in which our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about this one individual, one personality in particular. And in this narration, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the word sahib. Yes, sahib could also be termed as a friend, as a companion. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words about Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
As soon as you started saying he's going to about a specific person, straight away, that one name came to mind.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, their closeness, even before the announcement of the prophethood, is unique. You know, throughout the journeys, throughout the life, and their love between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is matchless. You know, that's why Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known as, you know, Ashiki Akbar, you know, the greatest lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. Well, one occasion our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that talking to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and saying to him, "Anta sahibi alal hawdi wa sahibi fil ghar," you are my companion by the pond of Kawthar, and you are my companion at the cave of Thawr during the journey of migration.
Migration.
Yeah, and also this is me adding now the next part, that where there was a special closeness between these, you know, friends, if you want to call it from this angle. We've talked about Thor, haven't we? The cave of Thor during the migration and also in the Akhirah. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this special connection and love for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he's assuring him, giving him this guarantee that you will be with me right next to me on the day of judgment as well. Yeah, and this is assurance to a friend, to someone who you both have spent so many years together. You know, the moments of happiness, the moment of difficulties and the troubles you've together, you know, you took that on. Yeah, you've faced the trouble and you, alhamdulillah, you overcome the hardships. Yeah, you're giving the assurance to the individual. And not just this, it's not just about the cave and not just about the Akhirah, but the period in between. You know, the mazar, the shrine. Look at this, the closeness. That Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has accepted his beautiful friend, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as the neighbor in the grave as well, in the shrine, under the Rawda Mubarak. Yeah, this shows, you know, we talk about friends, you talk about loyalty. Yeah, you know, it works both sides generally, if you look at it as a neutral discussion. So loyalty is something which is very important for a friendship. Yeah, especially for a good friendship, because you can have good friendship and you can have a bad friendship. There's two different aspects. Yeah, but especially from a good friendship, the loyalty, the trust, and you know, knowing each other, having a good understanding between each other is so important. Yeah, and the best thing that you can do for someone is to be with them all the time. And in the lifetime, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, you know, accepted Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the one who is going to be there even at the difficulties of the migration journey. You know, just imagine on one side, you know, how many people were looking to attack Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, Muslims were finding it so difficult, yeah, to even, you know, come out and open to express their iman. Yeah, and then when migration took place, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam selected Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Just imagine, you know, what would be the feelings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq at that time?
Well, I mean, like you say, he could have, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have chosen anybody.
Yeah.
And nobody would have said, why not me? You know, they would have all accepted the decision. But, you know, there's so many things, even from the beginning when, you know, where we talk about obviously before the announcement of Prophethood, but also when the Prophethood was announced. And the first man to accept Islam was Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And we see that throughout his life.
That iman was something unique, that there wasn't any discussion.
No questions,
no,
yes.
No questioning. No, you're making the major decision of your life, the turning point of your life. And obviously, you know, we know as, you know, in life, the more, you know, major decision that you make, you want time to think.
Think about it.
You know, you'll ask for some days, you'll ask for weeks, you'll ask for months. But I need to make that decision. I need to think about it. But look at that connection.
Yeah? I was actually reading it, that the Prophet, I think I read it once somewhere, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that of all the people that I offered Islam to, they all pondered, they all thought. But when Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was offered Islam, you know, straight away, without question.
And a similar incident happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from the night journey.
Allah,
of Mi'raj.
Allah.
And when the people who were non-believers of the community, the Meccan community, and they thought this is the best time, you know, to find Abu Bakr Siddiq and tell him
that,
to shake his faith, yeah, and say to him, your friend is saying these words, that he's traveled to Masjid al-Aqsa, then into the heavens, and he traveled all around, and he's come back within a short space of night. Yeah, and to shake his iman, or to break friendship, if you want to call it, they did that. And when he heard these words, that, you know, if so, because the way they put it out front of him was, if someone does, he says that I've traveled this, could it be true? He said, no. But then they said, okay, they thought, that's it, I've got him now. But as soon as they turned the tide and said, your friend is saying this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. And as soon as he heard this, he without any thinking again, he said, if that's the case, then that's true.
Allah.
I believe in it.
You know, I've
this
read,
is called loyalty.
That's what I'm saying. I've read that waqia so many times. And every time I read that waqia, you just can imagine the situation that they're there. and they're trying to confuse him. They're trying to, you know, shake his iman. They're trying to do all these things with him, and they're getting happier and happier as, you know, they're building up to the point, and they're getting him. You know, it's like when you try and create an argument with someone, you build them up, don't you? Yeah. And when you've got them cornered, so to speak, then you put the final card in, so to speak. And they were doing that with Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Is it possible? No, it's not. Is it possible? No, it's not. If someone said this, no, it's not possible. And they kind of like cornered him. And once they finally cornered him and like thought that now he's got nowhere to escape, he cannot escape the next question because we've proved it all this way. And then they finally flew that question that, you know, your friend, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is saying this. And like you said, without a hesitation, you know, cornering or no cornering, you know, whatever happened, straight away he said, if my Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, without a doubt, it's truth. He didn't question it. He didn't pause. He didn't think, acha, I'll go and find out. Yeah. Let me go and ask. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you've not understood properly. He didn't say any of that. There was no like, acha, okay, right, okay, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, let me go and find. None of that.
And that was the occasion when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was given this title of Siddiq.
So you can see why he was given that title, though. You can see why he was given that title, that without pausing, without thinking, in the same way that he accepted Islam without thinking, he answered that particular question, which was literally there to try and catch him out. He responded to it without thinking.
Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that individual about whom Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that no one's wealth benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr. And you know, these words weren't just said in front of just any other person. It was said in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, you know, making him aware or giving him the confidence and, you know, that, look, you've done so much for me. And, you know, on this occasion, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was hearing these words that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he started weeping, he started crying, and said, Ya Rasulullah, you are the owner of my life and my wealth. Everything belongs to you. There's nothing that I have. Everything that I have is yours. Yeah, you know that famous incident about
I was just thinking about that famous incident where viewers on the channel, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called upon the companions to donate in the way of Allah. You know, nowadays many charities, many institutes, all the masjids are asking us to donate in the way of Allah azza wa jalla and give funds. The first time that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called upon the Muslims and said that we need the resources, we need the funds, we need these things because we're going to go on an expedition, we're going to go on a Madani Kafla and we're going to spread the Deen of Islam. And so this is the first opportunity and for the people to bring forth their goods. And many started to bring forth their goods. Amongst all the companions, all the great companions brought their goods on that day. And there was like a beautiful competition, you could call it, amongst the Muslims. You know, nowadays, if we compete with each other, we try to compete with each other that who is the best, who has got the biggest, who has got the greatest, and we want have I got the best car, have I got the best house? But the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they competed in a different way. Their competitiveness was who can please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam most. Who can have that pleasure of pleasing. I mean, this in itself shows the love that they had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now on this day, when this announcement was made, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, who also was a very, very close companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he thought to himself that, you know what? Every time that something like this happens, always, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he always wins. Yeah, I've never been able to like surpass him in pleasing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he made this intention that, you know, today's the day. Today I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna win today. But Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, when he was in his home and he was thinking, what do I give? What do I get? And picture the scene via some of the channel that he is at home, and he decides to split all of his wealth in half, everything. You know, this is easy to say. You know, this is easy to say if you're on the channel, but I want you to ponder for a moment the amount of money you got at home, amount of wealth you've got at home, gold, silver, whatever wealth you've got, whatever assets you've got, whatever you've got. If I was to say to you, give half of it in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, how hard would that be? Nowadays, we find it hard to give a pound coin. And that's the true reality, unfortunately, that when it comes to giving money to the masjid, we'll find the loose change at the bottom of our pocket, or we'll find the change that's fallen down the side of the sofa, or, you know, things that are causing, and we'll give that, and we'll just show it or everything. And even then, we want the whole world to know that we've given some money in the way of Allah. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, he's sitting at home, and he thinks to himself that everything I've got, I will donate in half of it. Half of his food, half of his resources, half of his money, everything. And he brings it to the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it, and obviously when the companions saw it, they were happy. You can imagine that if nowadays if someone was to give a big donation, it would make everybody else happy and encourage them as well. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, what have you brought and what have you left for your family? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything that I've got, I've divided in half. Half I've presented for you and half I've kept for my family. And that in itself was, you know, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were so happy at this huge sacrifice that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu had made. So Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had not arrived yet.
Allahu Akbar.
And when he arrived, he brought everything. Absolutely everything. Everything that he had in his house, down to the fact that even his clothes that he was wearing, he took that off and he was wearing what is known like a rough cloth sack. And even the buttons he didn't have there, he put thorns to keep the rough sack together. And he presented all of that at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, the same question. Ya Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, what have you brought and what have you left behind? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have got, I have brought and put to you. And for my family, I've left Allah and His Rasul, and that is all that
Allah
I need.
Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Subhanallah.
These sort of things are easy to say. These sort of sacrifices are easy to say. These sort of, you know, when people question why was Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq so close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why was this friendship there? But the sacrifices that he made, the loyalty that he had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think in today's terms, if we were to bring it to today, is it possible for any of us, no matter how close we have a friend, be it even your blood brother, be it even your twin brother, be it your partner, your life partner, could you be as loyal? Could any of us be as loyal as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? Could any of us be as loyal as the way Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was loyal to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That trust that they had in each other, that, you know, blind trust. You know, that blind trust that if he said it, then it is true. Bas, khalas. If the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it is true. And I don't need anything else. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, I don't need anything else. I don't need all of these wealth. I don't need anything. Right. I think how fortunate that Islam, that brother was. How fortunate that companion was. These are sacrifices. And you know, today, in this blessed month of Rabiul Ashraf, when we talk about love, we talk about honoring the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talk about following in his footsteps. Do any of us, can any of us, follow in the footsteps of Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and show our love in that way? Show our respect in that way? Can we honor the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that way? Can we make the sacrifice that him, his family, and everybody around him made in that way? Can we make that? No, we can't. But what we can do is we can try and aspire to follow in the footsteps of these great people who were so close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sorry, Tawfiq, but we're just going to take a small break. I need to recompose as well. We've got some small packages, inshallah. Let's go to one of the packages of the day, inshallah, and then we're going to come back and continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. When the darkness of disbelief and idol worshipping was prevalent in the world, a noor gleamed in the sacred house of Sayyidatuna Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha in the holy city of Makkatul Mukarrama that brightened the entire universe. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, for whom the troubled humanity was anxiously waiting, dawned as mercy for all the worlds. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the world on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal at the time of dawn and transformed the dark night of miseries, difficulties and troubles into the bright and soothing morning of happiness. As soon as Allah's Noor sallallahu alaihi wasallam dawned on the earth on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, the dark clouds of oppression and disbelief purged. The palace of Kisra, which belonged to the Iranian king, was struck by an earthquake in which 14 of its spikes fell off. The flame which had been continuously burning for 1,000 years in Iran extinguished. The river Sava became dry. The Kaaba began to sway and idols fell on their heads. Teri aamad thi ke Baitullah mujre ko jhuka. Teri haibat thi ke har but thar thara kar gir gaya. Upon your advent, the Kaaba swayed. The idols fell trembling, being afraid. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, you just heard a small package there about the actual events that took place at the time of the coming of the Prophet of Allah. Sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching our role models. Today we're talking about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a friend. And whenever you talk about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a friend, you cannot fail to mention the great companionship, the great friendship that he had with the great companion, the first Khalifa, the first Amir al-Mumineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Before the break, we mentioned some of the incidents. And mashallah, Tawfiq Bhai was just about, I could feel that Tawfiq Bhai was just going to give some motherly pearls, but unfortunately I had to stop him. Jee Tawfiq Bhai.
Hal Bhai, if you look at the word friendship and then the qualities that we should see in the friendship, one of the key, you know, beauty in a friendship is that you return the favors. So one of the signs that you're a good friend is that you will return the favors of your friend. So if someone's done something good to you, you'll return, you know, you'll do something not just same, but you'll try to do better than that. Yeah, so if you look at this particular friendship that we're talking about, yeah, between the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, regarding this friendship and the love, the loyalty that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has shown practically from his whole life, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is reported to have said, who had a favor upon us, we have given them in return.
Allah.
They have got their jaza, we've given them the blessings and the virtues and high status. But Allah Azza wa Jal will grant the return of Abu Bakr's favor upon him on the day of judgment.
Allah.
Look at that as a return, look at that as a favor. You know, you have to look after your friends. And those who have more, you know, high loyalty, you want to give them a higher rank. And this is the status that these individuals have had. If you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the followers, those who became Muslims and especially who have had the sohbat, who have been in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even for a moment in the state of Iman and they passed away with Iman, we call them a Sahabi. A Sahabi in English, what do we say? A companion. What is their jaza? What reward they will get? All of them, number one, that no one after them can match their status.
Allah.
Regardless who that person is. Someone could be the height of the piety, but they cannot reach even the dust of the Sahabi. Yeah?
Without a doubt.
So this is their status that they've been given by the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
To mention to all of our viewers on the channel that we all need to have this mindset that no matter how pious an individual is, appears to be, or is, from, you know, in history, our pious predecessors, or no matter how much ibadat me, you, or anybody does, no matter how, whatever we do with our lives, no matter what we donate in the way of Allah, if, you know, if the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to donate 1.5 kilos, I think it's half a kilo, one mud of wheat, and we were to donate gold equivalent to Mountain Uhud, then that was still not compared to the giving of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important for us to realize that nobody in the past, nobody in the present, nobody in the future can ever attain the status that the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And you know, if you were to define a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it'd be someone that died with iman, but he saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a state of iman with his own eyes. And what a great blessing that is. And yesterday we were talking about the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know what a great honor it is to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dreams. And you can see how great an honor it is because the companions, they were given this great status because they saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just one thing I wanted to mention as well though, some people will say, okay, what about those people that claim to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now with their own eyes? Even then, viewers of the channel, nobody can attain the status of the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, amongst the companions, Amongst the companions, there are greater companions. Amongst the companions are the greatest companions. And the greatest companion of all is the greatest companion of all, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This is status, this honor. It was a two-way thing. Like we mentioned, the sacrifices that he made, but also Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu by the verse in the Quran that were mentioned with regards to him. Inshallah, we'll find them verses. I think I found one here. Surah Al-Lahl, verse 19 to 21, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "And no one has done a favor to him for which he should be compensated. He desires only to please his Lord, the Supreme, and indeed soon he will be very pleased." And apparently this verse was about Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and other verses were mentioned. This is the great honor. So it wasn't just like a one-way thing that a true lover give. Yeah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave him many blessings, many bounties were given to him, and Allah Azza wa Jalla also praised him as well. So this was the sacrifices and the love and the true friendship that they had.
You know, with regards to the journey of Ghari Thor, cave of Thor, the verse was revealed regarding that as well.
Allahu Akbar.
And on that occasion, during that period, and in that verse, Allah Ta'ala is saying that, you know, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and he's saying, Allahu ma'ana. Yeah, that Allah is with us.
With us.
Yeah? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said, Allah is with me. Don't worry, Allah is with me. But look at the friendship and the love between them. That, and these words are part of the Quran, that Allah is with us. That shows that, you know, they're not separate. Yeah, look at that bond, look at that love in between. Early on, we were talking about the Sahaba. You know, every single Sahabi will go to Jannah. Yeah, this was because of the sohbat, the companionship that they've had with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They've been guaranteed this. Many of Sahaba in the lifetime. Yeah, you know, for a friend, for example, you got a friend in front of you, you say, okay, ask me what you want. Yeah, and they're not everyone you can say this to. Yeah, but some of them you know you can say it. And then depending on who's gonna give the answer and who he knows who I'm talking to, and according to that person will say certain things that other people won't even think about. Yeah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to certain Sahaba, okay, tell me what you want. And in return, some Sahaba have said that, Ya Rasulullah, I want your companionship in Jannah. Yeah, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have guaranteed them. Yeah, you will go to Jannah.
Allah.
Yeah.
Allah.
And you will be with me in Jannah. Allah. You know, many occasions. Yeah, this is, you know, because if you look at the Sahaba overall, they went through the most difficult part in the history of Islam.
Without it.
Yeah, even if you, as an example, you could look at the Battle of Badr. Yes. Yeah, you know, a very small number of the Muslims
Not well equipped.
No equipment. The only thing that they had, no, the most important thing was the faith,
the
love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah, as you know, when you read about these battles that took place at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for them it wasn't a burden. It wasn't like, oh no, what am I going to do? Oh, it's a battle. Oh. Maybe I'm going to get hurt. Maybe I'm going to get injured. Maybe I'm going to die. This never crossed their mind.
Allah.
For them, it was an opportunity.
Opportunity.
They saw it as an
blessing,
opportunity.
Yeah,
they saw it as an opportunity. They saw it as a blessing. Whereas, you know, if you were to, you know, question yourself, question our iman nowadays, that if that happened, where would we stand? But they didn't see it like that. They, for them, it was a blessing. It was a great opportunity. And there are many, many incidences. You know, you hear the incidents of the small children that came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us enter the battlefield. And they were denied that. You hear of the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was his wedding night. Yeah. And on the night of his wedding night, the announcement was made. He went to the battlefield. These are the sacrifices that the companions made. And they didn't think, you know, in the same way, like you said, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he didn't think, he just followed. And this example is true with a lot of the companions. They didn't think, labbaik. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, enough. And again, that may be, I believe, that the reason why we are in the situation that we are in now, the reason why we are facing difficulties in our homes, with our children, with our spouses, with our families, the reason why we are facing difficulties all around the world is because we are not following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not obeying his orders. We're not following his sunnah. We're not following in his footsteps in the way that the companions did. If we did, even in a minute amount of that, then I feel that all of our powers, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, will disappear.
You know, Khalibah, if you look at some of the signs of love, and you know, we claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. Yeah, but practically, you know, our life sometimes it doesn't reflect upon the claim that we have. And you know, the ulama have mentioned that one of the key factor about this claim is that if you say that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most important part is that you have to follow the commands. You know, just hearing, you know, not even seeing something, just heard from someone that prophets, this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is enough for us. Yeah, if we become aware that this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this particular food that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really used to love. I was given an example of Qaddu Sharif. Yeah, that this particular vegetable that is, we know, we hear that this is connected, you know, with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the concept that we have about this particular vegetable, yeah, if you look at, if you go to Arab world, you might find a different variety of this. And then 1400 years ago, maybe it was the food could have been different.
Yes.
Yeah. But regardless of, you know, how it is, the exact same food won't be here. But the thing is that the food that we look at this today, this has a connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is enough for us.
Yes.
That's the key thing. Yeah. You know, just knowing that, you know, for example, wearing loose clothing, wearing modest clothes is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is enough for us. Yeah.
I've got here, I think what we'll do is we'll go to the break, inshallah. We've got a kalam, and then we'll come back, and I've got some of the signs of how, you know, if we want to know that, do we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to give you some of the signs. But we're going to go to the kalam of the day, and then inshallah we'll come back and we'll continue with this topic. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Marhaba. Marhaba. مرحبا مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفى
مرحبا
ايمان مصطفى
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفى
احمد مصطفى
مرحبا مرحبا
احمد مجتبى
مرحبا مرحبا
مرحبا
آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا مرحبا مرحبا
آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا عید میلاد النبی ہے دل بڑا مسرور ہے عید میلاد النبی ہے دل بڑا مسرور ہے ہر طرف ہے شادمانی رنج و غم کا فور ہے
آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفیٰ مرحبا مرحبا
مرحبا
مرحبا مرحبا
مرحبا اس طرف جو نور ہے تو اس طرف بھی نور ہے اس طرف جو نور ہے تو اس طرف بھی نور ہے ذرہ ذرہ سب جہاں کا نور سے معمور ہے
مرحبا آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
میری پہچان مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ
آمد سرکار سے ظلمت ہوئی کافور ہے آمد سرکار سے ظلمت ہوئی کافور ہے کیا زمین کیا آسمان ہر سمت چھایا نور ہے
مرحبا آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفیٰ
آمد مصطفی
مرحبا مرحبا
احمد مجتبی
مرحبا مرحبا
جشن میلاد النبی ہے کیوں نہ جھومے آج ہم جشن میلاد النبی ہے کیوں نہ جھومے آج ہم مسکراتی ہے بہاریں سب فضا پر نور ہے
آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا
مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفیٰ مرحبا مرحبا
مرحبا
مرحبا
آمینہ تجھ کو مبارک شاہ کا میلاد ہو آمینہ تجھ کو مبارک شاہ کا میلاد ہو تیرا آنگن نور تیرا گھر کا گھر سب نور ہے
مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا
مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا یا مصطفیٰ
ہوں غلام مصطفیٰ اپنا تو دعویٰ ہے یہی ہوں غلام مصطفیٰ اپنا تو دعویٰ ہے یہی کاش آقا بھی یہ فرما دے ہمیں منظور ہے
آئے مصطفیٰ صدا
مرحبا
مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفیٰ
آمد مصطفیٰ
مرحبا مرحبا
احمد مجتبی
مرحبا مرحبا
وہ پیلا میں اہل محشر دیکھتے ہی بول اٹھے وہ پیلا میں اہل محشر دیکھتے ہی بول اٹھے آ گیا تار دیکھو عشق میں مخمور ہے
مرحبا آئے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
پیارے مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہر طرف صدا
مرحبا
مرحبا مرحبا
جان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ایمان مصطفیٰ
مرحبا
ہے میری پہچان مصطفیٰ مرحبا مرحبا
مرحبا
مرحبا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ بیفور دا بریک وی ور ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ یو نو دا سائنز آف یو نو سیدنا حضرت ابو بکر صدیق ہاؤ ہی واز اے گریٹ لور اینڈ آنر دا پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم جسٹ کوئی گن ریڈ دس آؤٹ امام کستلانی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی ہز مینشن دا سائنز آف لو آف دا پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم ہی سیز نمبر ون اقتداء آئی دا گریٹسٹ سائن آف لو آف دا پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم از ٹو ابے ہم ٹو ایکٹ اپون ہز سنہ to follow his path, to seek guidance from his life, and to abide by his sharia. That's the number one. Number two, be content with sharia. One of the signs of loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the one who claims love should be content with the sharia of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and should not face any hardship in his nafs by the decision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three, to help the religion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is one of the signs of loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one should help the religion of Islam through his sayings and his actions, defend his sharia and adopt his blessed life in generosity, and follow his blessed way of living in the matters of forbearance, endurance, humility. Number four, being patient on hardship. Again, one of the signs. Make abundant zikr of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if you look at them five signs, without a doubt, each and every one of them you could see in the majority of the Prophet, in fact, all of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you could say that all of them were true friends. All, you know, when you talk about true friend, what is a true friend? I believe that every one of the companions, if you look at them, they were true friends. And the greatest of them true friends was, without doubt, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But the question is, you know, if we want to claim to be amongst the friends or amongst the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then are we following in any of these footsteps?
No, Khalid bhai, we have to understand that friendship is not a small, you know, matter of our life. It's something very important. It has high significance in Islam. It is mentioned in narrations that a person is in the deen of his friend. It's in the religion of his friend. And also people say that, you know, those individuals who you spend a lot of time with, you know, on a regular basis, their the way of thinking, their works, they have an impact, direct impact on your own personality. And what you do, what your, even like what you, what, for example, what you eat as well, has an impact of who you hang around with, who you spend a lot of time with. That directly impacts you, especially with deen. Yeah, so, you know, in this day and age, you know, we call anyone and everyone a friend.
Yeah.
Hi, friend.
Anybody in our notebook, any contact, then you say, I've got, you know, 700 friends because I've got 700 numbers in my phone and that's my friends.
We use the word friend, yes, mate, very loosely. We don't really have that same, you know, meaning.
You know, I mean, I know it's going off topic, Tawfiq, but, you know, my son-in-law, when he came to this country, one of the weirdest things he found in this country was, you know, he was working in a shop. And they'd come in and say, are you all right, love? And he'd go,
what's going on here?
Come on and say, people are calling me love. I don't know, it's just a term here. But anyway, but you know, just on that topic, before we go to, we've got one more package. We're going to the package. Let's go to the final package. And then when we come back, we can talk about friendship in general and how we need to decide who our friends are. Let's go to the final package of the day, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Abu Talib has said, I was once present with my nephew at a place called Zulmajaz. Suddenly I was thirsty. I told Muhammad Mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم, oh my nephew, I am thirsty. I had informed him of this in order not to ask him for water, but because he had no water, and also with that he could share my problem. Abu Talib has further said, as he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam listened to me, he immediately got off the horse and said, oh uncle, are you thirsty? I said, yes, listening to this. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam hit the ground with his blessed heel and water gushed out. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then said to me, drink water. So I drank the water. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we're talking about the friendship of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was an ideal role model. And Tawfiq bhai, I want to bring it to today now, that how we should choose our friends, how we should be with our friends, and who do we define as a friend today? And what are good friends in today's day and age?
I think the first thing we need to remember is whoever we choose as a friend will have a direct impact on our life, especially with our ideology, our way of thinking, and then what we do, you know, in various walks of life, and you know, what we eat, what becomes our favorite food, what becomes our favorite sport, all these things. No, you could say the friends, in a way, they decide. They have an impact. You could call it peer pressure, whatever you want to call it. Well, it is. The friends have a direct impact on your lifestyle. And the way, even to the level of the what you dress.
Yes. Yeah,
to fit in with your friends, you'll have to wear certain dress code. Yeah, so we need to understand that friendship is something very important. And now we have a good friendship, we have a bad friendship. And this is where we need to do a little test, friendship test, and see the people who I hang around with, or I spend a lot of time with, you know, in the corners and whatever I do in my leisure time, you know, during my friend's time, whatever you want to call it. You know, who are these people and what type of people are they? And are these individuals the ideal friends for us or not? There's a beautiful analogy of who is a friend. Yeah, there's a saying that a friend is like a tree, and there are three types of trees. One tree that will have leaves but no fruits. So this type of tree, it will give you a shade on a hot sunny day. Yeah, and there's a tree that which has leaves and fruits, so you can enjoy the fruits as well. The third type of tree is it has none of them, and we see that in this period, winter period, loads of trees, they don't have leaves, they don't have fruits on them. Yeah, they're just trees. Yeah, so this type of tree, the third type of tree, it doesn't give you any fruit, it doesn't give you any benefit, you know, physical apparent benefit that you will find from it. You won't have any shade from it during the heat. Yeah, now how is that compared with a friend? They say that a person, a friend who benefits you from the worldly point of view. For example, you know, we came on, both of us came on M62 motorway. Yeah, so on the motorway, you know, may Allah protect us, but if something happened, yeah, the first person that we'll call, and we'll generally know, I'll call this person, he'll be available and he will come down, regardless of where he is. Yeah, so if your friend is that type of friend, that means this type of friend is the one who's for you, who's there for you from the worldly aspect. He'll benefit you. He's always there for you. You, someone you will trust, you will go to. He's a go-to man. Yeah. This type of friend is like the tree which has leaves. It gives you shade. Yeah. So when you're struggling, when you're in heat, it gives you shade. Yeah. The second type of friend is that individual that whenever you're with him or with that individual, it reminds you of akhirat. If he sees anything wrong in you, that look, for example, it's namaz time and you're not praying namaz, he'll tell you, look, this is what you're doing. You got 10 minutes left to pray salah. Listen, quickly do wuzu here. I've got water. Do wuzu quickly. You know, wherever you are, even if you're on the mountains, you know, wherever you are, he'll make sure if he sees anything wrong in you and which he feels that this is harmful for you, for your akhirat, he will be there for you. He'll say to you, no, don't do this, don't do that. If you're talking about someone else and saying really bad words, he'll say, oh, what are you doing? You did backbiting. He's done whatever he's done. Why are you harming yourself? You're destroying your own good deeds. So that type of friend is like the tree which has fruits as well. And then you have another friend that you know, you spend so much with him, you know, so much time that you spend with him, you know, hours and hours, and maybe decades you've been with him, that individual, but you know at the back of your mind, he's not going to help you. You know, even if you're in a dire situation, he's not going to be there. You know it. So that type of friend is like a tree which has no leaves, no fruits. Now the question for us is, you know, which type of friends do we have? There's two aspects here.
I think, you mentioned that the tree that has no fruit, no leaves or anything, then, you know, why would you hang around with, why would you, you know, associate with that? But unfortunately, I was thinking about it as you're saying, I'm thinking, but no, unfortunately people do.
They do.
Because they think that if I, you know, this is my friend, then it'll make me look good. Yeah. I know he's not going to help me. I know he's not going to benefit me. I know he's going to, in the end of the day, he's going to let me go. But whilst I'm just with him, you know, it makes me look tough. Makes me look that.
You can call it a short-term win.
Yeah, it's a short-term.
Just to fit in with the crowd.
Yeah, it is a short, fitting in with the crowd. And unfortunately, that happens a lot though. Mm. That happens a lot, that a lot of people, because they haven't got that strength of character to break out of that mold, and they just want that short-term pleasure, if you want, or the short-term comfort that, okay, I'm with him, yeah? I know in the long term he's not going to help me. I know in the long term he's not there, but at the moment, okay, I look good, you know, and I feel as if I'm going to achieve something. But ultimately, they know if they're honest with themselves. But then the question really is the other type of friends that you've got, and why, you know, the question really is people aren't stupid. People know that this person will help me, this person won't help me. It's not as if we say, okay, I'm going to have to wait for the time. You know deep down. Why is it that we don't choose good friends then? Why is it we choose people that are going to cause ultimately not going to be there to help us? Why are we going to choose people that are not going to benefit us? You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your best friend is the one who, when you see him, he reminds you of Allah azza wa jalla. Speaking him increases your knowledge, and his actions remind you of the hereafter. The problem is, I feel, Tawfiq Bhai, that definition is not the definition that we have of a friend.
Yeah.
If we were to ask our viewers here, what is the definition of a friend? They come up with, you know, we would have a whole host of different answers of what a definition is. And maybe, you know, if we close our eyes and think about our friends now for a second, what do we see? When you close your eyes, think about your friends, what do you see? Do you see big cars? Do you see, you know, fun nights out, enjoying, chilling, going to the shisha place, going here, going there? That's my friend. That's not your friend. That's not your friend. Unfortunately, that's what we feel is our friend. The person that we can go out, we can have a good time with, we can enjoy ourselves with, we can go and party, we can go and do this, go and do that. That is work. So I think the biggest problem that we have, Tawfiq Bhai, is defining a friend.
You know, if you look at it practically, you got two options. Either you saw your friends out, or choose your right friends, or you become that friend for them.
I think the other problem is...
You become that individual who looks after them. Now, who always keeps them busy and in check. Now, if you really look at them as your friends, then how can you let them harm themselves for the akhirat?
I think there's peer pressure as well, though, Tawfiq Bhai. It's very hard. I mean, I remember, you know, time, we haven't got a lot of time, so I'm going to keep it short. I remember going on a Madri Kafla, going out, you know, doing Infradi Koshish, and I met somebody, and, you know, just to quickly picture the scene, clean shaved, string vest, gold chain, you know, Mundri, everything like that. And somehow we convinced him to come to the masjid with us. And whilst we were walking there, he said to me that, brother, this is not me. And I said to him, I'm not, you know, have I said anything about you? You know, he said, no, this attire, these clothes, it's not me. And I said, look, I'm not saying anything. I said, but now that you said it, if you're saying this is not you, then why are you like this then? If you say it's not you. He said, if I was not like this, I would not have any friends. Mm. And that hit me. You know, it actually hurt me that people succumb to peer pressure, because peer pressure is so huge that it affects people. And they feel, you know, you said, be that person. It's hard being that person. It's easy being led. It's hard being a leader. Not everybody can be a leader. And to have that strength inside
us. But you know, if you're actually serious in your search for a good friend, there are nice people out there.
No, there is. But what I'm trying to say to you, Tawfiq, but you know that in today's age, for a young lad or a young girl going to school, going to college, going to university and trying to live their lives as a Muslim is not easy.
It's a massive challenge.
It's a massive challenge. And so you need to have that strength inside you to be able to withstand that challenge. And that challenge comes in different forms. It can be in the fact that the peer pressure, the fact that you have, you know, they say that you will have very little friends. And you see those people that are strong in the faith and you ask them that they are happy with what they are doing. But if you ask them how many friends have they got, they'll say to them very few, because they made that stand.
Yeah.
So it's not easy making that stand, but I think we need to have that iman inside us to make that stand.
I think, you know, we need to be firm that, you know, even if you have one good friend, that is better than having 10 bad friends. And you need to keep yourself occupied.
But I think there's a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it's better to have none.
None friends.
You know, better to disassociate yourself with people and stay at home if there's these sort of people out there.
You know, as a coincidence, we're having this discussion about friendship. Possibly over 10 years ago, I want to share my personal experience with you. When I read upon this particular topic, who is a friend? And you look at, you know, you study scholars and what have they written. And then you think, you know, this is what I went through personally. Yeah, you know, when I looked at this, you know, who's that person that when I spend time with that individual, when I'm in his company, you know, I get all these beautiful vibes, the fear of Allah, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's always reforming me. It's always benefiting me. Who is that individual? And for me at that time, the conclusion was Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib.
Inshallah.
You know, him as a friend as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I personally actually went through that process. And I felt during those periods, I avoided, you know, going around and, you know, looking for. It's not that we had a bad friendship. You know, generally, mashallah, I was in Dawud Islami at that time as well. But the ideal friend that you will look for, I found that individual in the personality of Amir al-Sunnat. Yeah, and that's because you want to search for that individual. There are people like that. You know, if you stay in that company, look, you know, that person's not there. You're just reading his literature. Yeah, reading the literature of those individuals is like you're being in the company. For example, if someone wants to know Imam Azam Abu Hanifa or had a chance to live in his company, you study the fiqh. Study the Islamic principles through, you know, Hanafi school of thought. Read those, you'll be in the company of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. You'll fall in love with him. And you'll benefit from his approach, his way of thinking and the way he lived his life. If you study, for example, Bukhari Sharif, it's like you're in the company of Imam Bukhari. Yeah? These are Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So if you study about him and read the various narrations about him, it is as if you're in the company. So this is another form of sohbat that we can look into in our life as well, that these people have left this world so many years ago, but you can still get blessings of their friendship, of their closeness as well.
Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching our special series of programs, Our Role Model, and we're coming towards the end of the time. An hour seems to fly by, and today we've been talking about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model, as a friend, and we see him that as that friend. In both cases, the example that we gave of Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that both of them gave so much, sacrificed so much, loved and respected each other so much. But again, we came on to how we choose our friend. I'm just going to finish with one hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man follows the religion of his friend. So each one of us should consider who he makes as his friend. Without a doubt, whichever field or whichever line your friends are going on, you'll go on that line. If your friends are all namazi, then inshallah, you become a person that goes to the masjid. However, if it's not, then you run the risk of doing that. So I think we need to be very careful about who we choose as our friends. And in the same way that Tawfiq Bhai said, learn, read about our pious predecessors, and inshallah, instill that love inside us to follow our pious predecessors, which is ultimately following and loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, you've been watching Our Role Model. Keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Our role model, our role model, our role model, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our role model, our role.